are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Monday, everybody. We have a lot to talk about today. The Timberwolves, of course, played twice over the weekend, and we'll be back at it on Monday night hosting the Denver Nuggets. So we will start by talking briefly about Friday's game against the Indiana Pacers, and we'll transition into a little bit about Saturday's contest against Toronto, and then we'll finish with a quick preview of Wolves Nuggets for this evening. Of course, Karl Anthony Towns made his long-awaited return on Friday at Indiana, and overall played a solid game in that one. We'll talk a little bit more about individual studs and duds, individual performances here in a moment. In terms of the game overall, it was somewhat of a reverse of the Wednesday home loss to Indiana. Remember, the two teams played a home-and-home, and Minnesota led for much of the game at Target Center last Wednesday before falling late, ultimately only lost by five. On Friday, the Pacers in Indianapolis led for most of the game, but the Wolves, and not by a lot, it was a close game, but Indiana had the edge for most of the first couple, two and a half quarters before the Wolves took a brief lead in the third quarter and actually, took control of the game for a moment. And then in the fourth quarter, the Pacers, it seemed like they were going to pull away. They got up by double digits. The Wolves went on a late 11-0 run to tie the game and actually had a chance to go ahead with just over a minute to play. The Wolves had an inbounds play from the baseline, and Towns caught the ball. This was, I think, towards the end of the shot clock. Towns caught the ball on the left baseline in a tie game with a chance to take the lead. Made a three-pointer, and it almost looked like they were going to call a foul and have an and-one, a chance for a four-point play, but the official instead ruled that Towns stepped on the baseline and stepped out of bounds before he launched the three that did go in. And then at the time, there wasn't an angle that they showed on TV that made it clear whether or not he did step out of bounds. Jim Peterson on the Timberwolves broadcast on Fox Sports North believed that maybe his heel hovered above the line and didn't step out. As it turns out, when the NBA released their last two-minute report, as they do for any close game, when they released that on Saturday, it did conclude that Towns did not step out of bounds with that on that play. There was a minute 16 left, and the phrase from the report says, Towns does not step out of bounds when he receives the pass or before he releases the three-point shot attempt. The contact between him and Turner occurs after the whistle. So, ultimately, it was a bad call. It also sounds like they would not have given him a free throw. But either way, the Wolves should have had a three-point lead there. Instead, the Pacers come down. They don't score. The Wolves get the ball back. They don't score. The Pacers, again, don't score. The Wolves are actually getting several stops. And then Wiggins steps out of bounds, which gives the Pacers the ball with roughly, basically, 30 seconds to play when Wiggins steps out of bounds. And the Pacers called a timeout. And in the tie game, with about 30 seconds to play, they went into a pick-and-roll. The Wolves brought Okogie into the game to guard Malcolm Brogdon in the pick-and-roll. And Okogie doesn't get through the screen fast enough on the right side of the floor. Towns doesn't step up too far because he didn't want to leave Domantas Sabonis, who was the role man, wide open in the paint. And Covington and the weak side wasn't in a position to pick up Sabonis. So Towns was kind of in no-man's land. Brogdon had what was essentially a wide-open floater from 15 feet away on the right side of the floor. Made the floater. The Pacers took the two-point lead. That was just a case of either lack of communication from the Wolves, lack of a plan. It's hard to fault Towns. He kind of was playing two guys at once because Okogie couldn't get back into the play fast enough. And Towns clearly didn't have help from the weak side on Sabonis. So he kind of tried to play both Sabonis and Brogdon. And unfortunately, Brogdon made the shot. So ultimately, not knowing exactly what was discussed in the huddle, of course, that was a situation where the weak side defenders needed to help out Towns more to allow Towns to step up and guard Brogdon. Or Okogie simply needed to do a better job of fighting through the screen, which typically he's very good at. So that was kind of a weird sequence there where the Wolves defense clearly wasn't quite set. Of course, the Wolves still had a chance down two after they called a timeout. The Wolves came down, ran an offensive set. It ended with Shabazz Napier attempting a deep three from the left wing, probably 3 feet beyond the arc, and he didn't make it. Robert Covington forced a jump ball on the rebound. The Wolves lost the jump ball, and ultimately that was the game. After that jump ball, the Wolves still had a foul to give, and so they couldn't even commit the two fouls in the final couple seconds. So the Pacers ended up winning by two. Overall, a good game from the Wolves, and frustrating finish with the double stepping out of bounds, even though the one shouldn't have been called. And even if they hadn't, you know, the Wolves still had a chance to take the lead. The Pacers didn't score their next two trips down the floor in a tie game. So the Wolves' offensive execution was simply poor across the board, and you can't simply blame stepping out of bounds for that. The Wolves went, you know, basically the last, I don't know, the last over minute, certainly, because they didn't score after the Towns issue, after Towns stepped out of bounds. So they went well over a minute without scoring there at the end of the game, which obviously matters, despite the fact their defense actually cracked down, minus the Malcolm Brogdon game winner. So a good game overall for the Wolves, and certainly a frustrating finish. It's a common theme of the last couple of weeks, actually. The Wolves have now, after their loss Saturday, have lost five in a row, and really, I mean, actually six in a row, but most of them have been close. The Wolves overall have played pretty well, the losing streak is actually still only five in a row, six out of the last seven. But they've played pretty well, minus the Rockets game. They were mostly in the Thunder game until late. They were in the Pacers game the whole time. They were in the second Pacers game the whole time. And the Raptors game, which we'll get to here in a moment, they were also in until midway through the fourth quarter against the defending champs and you know, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference still. So overall, a good performance from the Wolves on Friday. In terms of individual performers, the Wolves got a pretty good game from Karl-Anthony Towns. He has not rebounded in double figures in either of his two games since returning from his knee sprain and his illness. But against the Pacers, he did have 27 points on Friday. He shot 9 of 21 from the floor and 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. Perfect 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Somehow only grabbed 5 rebounds. The Wolves were led in rebounding by Robert Covington. And the Pacers aren't an outstanding rebounding team either. In fact, nobody on the Pacers had more than 8 rebounds. For them, you know, Miles Turner only had 6. Domantas Sabonis only had 5 rebounds. He was in foul trouble for much of the night on Friday, which helped the Wolves certainly. But kind of a weird game in terms of just the lack of rebounding. I guess there was no rebounding prowess in this game. The Pacers out rebounded the Wolves 41-36, and so it was a game where Towns really should have controlled the glass, but wasn't able to do so. He did. He had the 5 rebounds. He had 1 assist, 3 turnovers, was a minus 3 in 28 minutes. So the Wolves did limit his minutes in a close game. But much of that was in the second and third quarter. He played most of, you know, obviously started and played down the stretch as well. So good job by the Wolves to limit his minutes in his first game back on the front end of a back-to-back. That was kind of a tip-off that he was going to play on Saturday, even though it was a back-to-back right after returning. But overall, Towns would have, you know, it was a stud for the game in terms of our studs and duds classifications. Wiggins had 22 points on 9 of 17 shooting, 2 of 3 beyond the arc, 4 assists, just 2 rebounds. Nobody else really did much for the Wolves. Okogie had 15 off the bench, 5 of 7 shooting, 4 rebounds. Covington shot just 3 of 11 from the field. So the Wolves had a pretty balanced attack in this one. 4 of the 5 starters scored in double figures, with Robert Covington 9 points on 3 of 11, the only one that didn't. Covington also had 10 rebounds in this game. As I mentioned earlier, led the Wolves in rebounding. So a balanced attack, a disappointing loss, just because they were in the game for most of it. But tough to get too upset about a 2-point loss to the Pacers on the road. The Pacers at the time were 27-15. So, you know, not an awful loss. A good overall return for Karl-Anthony Towns as well. All right, before we move on, I did want to mention our new friends at Indeed. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. All right, on the heels of Friday's loss to the Pacers in Indianapolis, the Wolves returned back to Target Center to face the defending champion Toronto Raptors on Saturday. It was assumed that Karl-Anthony Towns would play. In fact, he wasn't on the injury report on Saturday. However, new acquisition Alan Crabb, who was traded for on Thursday, was, with an illness, of course. He was not available Friday anyways, but when he was in Minneapolis Saturday. Apparently he was ill, was not available. There was a chance that the Raptors were going to be without Fred VanVleet, who had missed the past five games with a strained hamstring, did not play in their game Friday night on the front end of the Raptors back-to-back. He did, however, suit up against the Wolves on Saturday. Of course, just the Wolves' luck. And VanVleet, of course, ended up having an awesome game against the Wolves as well. Overall, the Timberwolves, again, played pretty well on Saturday, despite it being on the second half of a back-to-back, despite it being a team of the Raptors' caliber. The Wolves actually led by seven at the end of the first quarter and by four at halftime, and certainly were in this game, really, until, I mean, the Raptors outscored the Wolves by nine in the third quarter, which meant that they had a five-point lead going to the fourth. But the Wolves were still hanging around and still made a little bit of a push early in the fourth quarter. And really, it wasn't until about midway through the final quarter that the Wolves really started to struggle. The Raptors made a push. The Wolves' offense completely stalled out. And the Raptors actually pushed their lead north of 20 points with just a few minutes to play. And there were actually a few minutes of garbage time at the end where the Wolves pushed things closer and Oz Reed and Jordan Bell came in the game. The Wolves actually got it down to 10 points. But it wasn't quite that close. But again, that said, the Wolves had a lead for so much of the game. So this was one of those games where the Raptors weren't really awake and ready to go for this one. The Wolves were, thankfully, and it's a game that they probably should have won. However, the Raptors remain one of the league's better 3-point shooting teams, and they shot 37% from beyond the arc, 13 of 35, while the Wolves were just 14 of 50, 28% from deep. And that was a big issue in this game, especially late, as the Raptors were building their lead by making threes, and the Wolves simply couldn't buy a three-pointer in the fourth quarter. After starting the game pretty hot, too, from long range, Jarrett Culver scored 14 points just in the first quarter. He had all four of his three-point makes were in the first quarter as well. He made four of his first five attempts, missed his last five three-point attempts of the game, of course, was 4 of 10 from deep total for the game. But Culver scored 14 points in the first quarter en route to 26 points for the night. 26 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, an assist and a steal for Culver, and one of the better games, again, of his career. 6 of 9 from the free throw line. He's still under 50% for the season, so that's actually kind of an outburst for him in a positive way, the 6 of 9 from the line. And he was a big part of building that early lead. The Raptors were clearly just fine with letting Culver shoot from deep. And later in the game, that worked. In the first quarter, he got hot and made four of his first five and really was a big part of building that lead for the Wolves. Robert Covington led the Wolves in shot attempts in this game, which is kind of the reverse of what we've seen from him lately. He launched 20 shots in 33 minutes, 8 of 20 from the field, 4 of 13 beyond the arc. Covington had 22 points, 8 rebounds, was overall pretty good for the game. That's not too inefficient, and again, contributed on the glass, couple of steals, was active defensively. So a good game from Covington and another big part of building the lead. Ultimately, the Raptors got back in it because they just simply couldn't miss from the perimeter. The Wolves could not guard Fred VanVleet. VanVleet had 29 points, was 7 of 8 on three-point attempts, 4 rebounds, 4 steals, a couple of assists for VanVleet. Kyle Lowry was also very good, 28.7 rebounds, 10 of 17 shooting, and 5 of 8 from beyond the arc. So the backcourt, starting backcourt for the Raptors, VanVleet and Lowry, combined to shoot 12 of 16 on three-point attempts in this game. The rest of the Raptors made one three-point attempt. The rest of the Raptors combined were 1 of 19 from beyond the arc. It was strictly Lowry and VanVleet that killed the Wolves. 1 of 19 for non-Lowry VanVleet players, 12 of 16 for that duo, the starting backcourt for the Raptors. So once again, high usage guards, scoring guards who are content to shoot threes, mid-range shots, whatever the Wolves are able to, or allow them. And also in Van Vliet's case, you know, letting guys get to the rim too is also an issue. The ancillary players didn't really do that much for the Raptors. They only had three other guys in double figures. Norman Powell had 20 off the bench, 8 of 15 shooting. And Serge Ibaka had 12 off the bench. Pascal Siakam had 14 in the starting lineup. Marc Gasol was very quiet, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. OG Anunoby only had 2 points, 0 of 4 shooting in this game. And it was really the play of Lowry and VanVleet, a little bit of Norman Powell. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson was really good defensively off the bench. He ended up being a plus 13 in 24 minutes off the bench, 9 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists for Hollis-Jefferson, plus a couple steals and a couple blocks. But he was a big part of shutting down the Wolves' perimeter players and slowing down the Wolves' offense as a whole. In terms of studs and duds for this game, Karl Anthony Towns really struggled, and he actually gets a duds award, if you will, for this one. 12 points, 4 of 11 shooting. He was 1 of 7 from three-point range, 3 of 4 from the line, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, a block. He did have 4 turnovers as well, but only 11 shot attempts for Towns in 27 minutes is not acceptable, and that's partly scheme. It's partly Towns pulling the trigger on shots, getting involved in the posts. He only shot... what, he had 7 of his 11 shot attempts were threes, which meant that he was 3 of 4 from inside the arc and 1 of 7 from beyond it. And I'm not one to say he should shoot less threes, because I don't think he should, but he should be shooting more twos than 4 twos and 7 threes in a game. He can't only shoot 11 times. And part of that's due to the game got out of reach in the fourth quarter and he headed to the bench, but it shouldn't have gotten to that point. He should have been more involved in the offense. Wiggins was 6 of 14 shooting. He had his first career triple-double in this game, which if the Wolves had won, probably would have been the headline, but 18 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, a steal, 6 of 14 shooting. He was only 1 of 5 beyond the arc, was actually a team worst, minus 13, and was okay in this one. He was active, which is important. He was getting into the paint, finding open shooters. He actually found a couple of was driving, found a couple of cutters in the paint, and overall was a solid game from him. But again, wasn't ultra efficient, was active on the glass, but struggled defensively as well, was definitely a part of allowing all those points, especially to Norman Powell, and the Raptors perimeter players. The Raptors were just, they were able to pull away because of the play of their guards late in the game. And the Wolves just didn't get that same level of play. Also on the duds list, Shabazz Napier had 2 points in 26 minutes, 6 assists, 2 turnovers, 4 rebounds, 1 of 4 shooting, only squeezed the trigger 4 times. And granted, he's the 5th option of the 5 starters for the Wolves, but he needs to at least be more of a threat from 3-point range. And he's been a willing shooter, especially with Towns out, but has not done much the last couple of games. And if he's going to assume that starting point guard role, and there really isn't any other choice, he's got to do a little bit more and do some damage from deep as well. But the Wolves simply not being able to be dynamic outside of Culver's first quarter on the wing and in the guard spots really hurt them down the stretch. As far as studs for the game, Jarrett Culver counts as that with 26 points. This 8 of 16 shooting, 4 rebounds, a couple of blocks, an assist, a steal. A good all-around game from Culver. I think we're now at 12 games in a row. He scored in double figures, and it really looks like he's turned a corner. It's going to take a mammoth second half of the season for his overall numbers for this year to look really good. But I mean, I have a feeling that this is a true turning of the corner, because he's been aggressive all year, but he's now being a smart, aggressive player. If the defense is letting him shoot from the perimeter and giving him open shots, he's taking them, and he's making them at, roughly a 33% clip, I think, from deep over the past that dozen games or so, which is, that's fine. It'll make defenses pay if they leave him wide open. And if they're pressing up on him, or if he's getting getting a first step on anybody, he's taking it to the rim, and he's mostly finishing through contact. The assists have gone down a little bit during the stretch. He needs to, now that he's not running the offense very often, so he needs to, pick that up a little bit and do a better job of, if he's getting cut off at the rim, turning around and finding an open shooter, finding a cutter, finding a safety valve of sorts. But overall, definitely turning some sort of corner for Culver, which is going to be huge as the Wolves start to get back into the swing of having Towns on the floor, having yet another scoring option, in addition to Andrew Wiggins, with Covington more of a spot-up shooter. It'll be really big moving forward to have Culver be as aggressive as he's been. He's probably the only true stud in this game. Covington's 22 and 8 is nice. He took him 20 shots to get the 22, so he's kind of in no man's land there. Same with Wiggins and his triple-double. And then Towns and Napier are the two duds for this game. Didn't get much from the bench, but they weren't horrible. Overall, decent plus-minuses. Gorgie had 12 and 7 in 18 minutes. Josh Gogi had 9 points, so a couple of back-to-back nice games for him off the bench. So overall, a solid performance for most of the Wolves players, but just not enough against the defending champs, unfortunately. All right, before we talk Wolves Nuggets and take a peek ahead at the week upcoming, did want to mention something related to local advertising on the podcast. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Timberwolves fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, Wolves Nuggets is happening Monday night at Target Center. It's the third meeting of the season series between the two teams. The first couple of games have been pretty close. The Wolves lost by 2 at home to Denver in game one, lost by 9 last time around in Denver. The Nuggets have actually been a little bit up and down lately. They're pretty banged up in terms of injuries, which, you know, the Wolves aren't going to feel a ton of sympathy for that. Somewhat ironically, the Nuggets actually just lost on Sunday against Indiana. So the Pacers have now won 3 in a row, 2 against the Wolves, 1 against the Nuggets. And the Nuggets will be on a back-to-back after flying in from Denver on Sunday. So that's an advantage for the Wolves after Denver had to travel following the back-to-back, or the first end of the back-to-back. And prior to that, had won 3 in a row against, you know, the Warriors and Charlotte were two of those games. They did lose at home to the Cavs just about a week ago. So that obviously is not a great loss. They also recently lost at Washington and lost at home to the Pelicans not that long ago too. So the Nuggets can certainly, they're certainly known to have these weird blips where they struggle. They've come back down to earth here recently. They're still 29-13 on the season, and that places them in terms of the Western Conference landscape third, tied for third with Utah, and only a half game behind the Clippers for the two spot in the West. The Lakers are still about 4.5 games above that. So certainly still a strong first half of the season for the Nuggets. They're probably about where everybody expected them to be. In terms of their injuries, we don't know. We don't have an injury report yet for Monday's game, but on Sunday, they didn't have Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, or Jamal Murray. All of those players were out. Murray's is an ankle injury. He'll certainly be out Monday. Millsap hasn't played as much lately, and I'm not sure about Gary Harris, but to not have those guys available is a big deal and affects Denver's depth, of course. And that means that bench gets a lot shorter. And it's still a fairly deep team, but it means guys like Malik Beasley and Michael Porter Jr. has been getting a lot more run lately. Juan Hernan Gomez has played as a member of the rotation, not guys who are expected to be a big part of the rotation at the start of the year. And then it also means that the likes of Jeremy Grant and Torrey Craig are in the starting lineup consistently. And it overall, of course, affects the rotation. So we'll see what that means for Monday night's game in Minnesota. The Wolves should be relatively healthy outside of Jake Lehman. Not sure yet whether or not Alan Crabb will be available. If it's, you know, anything like the illness that many of the Wolves have had, he'll probably miss a couple of games, but we'll see. So hopefully he makes his Wolves debut. Hopefully Towns, he wasn't on the injury report Saturday, so unless there's some sort of setback, he should be available. And Lehman will still be out here for a few more weeks most likely as well. So it'll be the rare situation where the Wolves should actually be healthier than their opponent. And of course, the Towns-Jokic matchup is always fun, even if they don't end up going head-to-head all that often. And certainly their playing styles are pretty different. But that's always the story when the Wolves are facing the Nuggets, to be sure. The Nuggets are still a top 10 team, really defensively and offensively. And even though Jokic has taken a small step back this year compared to at least what he did last year, he's come on strong lately. And has been really good as the Nuggets have kind of stabilized themselves and also as he's needed to be in the absence of some of those other players. Michael Porter Jr. has been an awesome surprise for this team and has played significant minutes, mostly off the bench, and has been one of the team's better players, really. In some ways, he's outplayed some of those mainstays that are actually out now, like Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. So it's been good to see him step up. He's 21 years old, and has just been really solid in terms of shooting. This team is not a huge 3-point shooting team. Obviously that's not the strength of Jokic's game. But they've been taking more threes lately and, you know, have been getting been getting a lot of that's due to Michael Porter, Malik Beasley, again, getting more run. He's one of their better 3-point shooters, but it's not a big part of Jokic's game. It's actually not a huge part of Jamal Murray's game, Gary Harris, some of those other perimeter players who are more mid-range and guys who can also get to the rim. For the season, Millsap, again, probably won't play in this game. He's shooting 41% from three. Porter's shooting 39.3% from deep. Beasley, 38.6%. Jokic is down at 33.5% for the year from deep. He's still their leading scorer, 19.5 points a game, just under 10 rebounds a game, over 6 assists, about 6.5 assists per game. So it's a balanced team. They do a lot of things well. They're not a great rebounding team. That's probably their biggest shortcoming outside of maybe 3-point shooting. And I mean, that matches with the Wolves' weaknesses as well. The Wolves take a lot more threes, but they aren't, I mean, they're not as good at shooting them as the Nuggets. And the Wolves also have been struggling on the defensive glass here lately, including Karl-Anthony Towns, who has failed to get double digits and rebounds in either of his two games since returning from injury. So it would be big for Towns to have a big game in this one, a big game on the glass. Wiggins needs to show up to try and help slow down the perimeter players like Michael Porter of the Nuggets. And the Wolves will also need Covington to be ready and willing to shoot threes in this one. It's going to be important for the Wolves to jump out early like they did against the Raptors, but hopefully hold on. The Nuggets have a little bit less offensive firepower and less, especially without Jamal Murray, less ability to likely just get hot and make a bunch of threes like Van Vliet and Lowry did for the Raptors the other night. And the Wolves, if they can get a lead, should have a good shot at holding on in this one, to be sure. All right, just peeking ahead really quickly at the week for the Wolves. Things have actually been really tough. I think pretty much their last few games have been against playoff teams, and that's a big reason why they've lost 5 in a row. You know, obviously Houston, Oklahoma City, both games against Indiana and Toronto, those are all really good teams that are almost surefire playoff teams, and the Wolves have lost all 5. Now Denver, and then they get to go on the road to Chicago on Wednesday, which isn't an easy game. The Bulls have been playing better lately than they started the season, but at least it's against a likely non-playoff team. And then they have another tough stretch, home games against Houston, Oklahoma City, and Sacramento after that, going through next Monday. So another week of 4 games with 3 of them against playoff teams, and the only non-playoff team they're facing will be on the road on Wednesday. So, you know, hopefully we'll see Allen Crabbe get into the mix on Monday. We'll see what his shooting dynamic to the rotation does. And then we'll also keep an eye on whether or not there's any additional trade news now that we're within just a couple weeks of the deadline. So we'll keep up to date on that as well. All right, we'll be back on Tuesday with a recap of Monday's game against Denver, studs and duds, and then talk about any news, of course, that breaks between now and then. And as we know, as we found out last week, that can happen at a moment's notice. Even if there's no chatter, anything can happen this time of year in terms of trades. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.